This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
On the home for our Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Now, here's John Fricke and Joe Patrick.
It is game day for the Falcons, Monday Night Football. And welcome to 92.9, The Game's coverage of the Falcons and Eagles tonight in Philadelphia. This is the first of three primetime games for the Falcons in the first 5 weeks of the season. Matter of fact, 6 days from now, another primetime game at Mercedes-Benz against Patrick Mahomes of the Chiefs, but first things first. Tonight, another tall task. The Eagles come in flying back off from Brazil. Wild win over the Packers to start their season. Saquon Barkley's debut couldn't have gone much better. 3 touchdowns in his explosive opener. Welcome to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealers. We kick off our coverage leading you to the network pregame show with Chris Goforth and Mike Johnson at 6, and of course the call of the game from the Lincoln, Philadelphia, 8 p.m. tonight, West Durham and Dave Archer. I'm John Fricke alongside our Falcons insider and reporter Joe Patrick. And Joe, I guess let's hope with all this primetime stuff that night games become a very good thing for the Falcons this year.
Yeah, no kidding. But John, it feels like one of the biggest games that this team has had here in a few years with them playing on Monday night in prime time. So I think a lot of people are excited for it.
All right, let's talk about the chatter, Joe, because there was a lot of it on 929 The Game this week. A lot of chatter in the city about things that did not go right on offense in that opener and what the Falcons can do to correct all the mistakes they made. So what do they do?
Yeah, I mean, if you look back at that game, I mean, it was rough offensively. And I think it's interesting to go back and specifically look at the second half, because what Jake Matthews said after the game in the locker room, he was talking to some of us reporters who were in there, was that they came in at halftime of that game and they felt very good about themselves and what they were doing. And if you go back and watch the tape, I think that actually checks out. Obviously, Kirk Cousins had a turnover in that half that killed a drive. But other than that, they had just gone down the field and scored on a long touchdown drive. And again, feeling good about themselves. But look at the second half. You have 2 turnovers and 6 negative plays. That's 8 plays total out of 23 total plays that they ran in that second half. That is absolutely brutal. That is obviously not, you know, a winning formula in the NFL. 2 of 8 passing for Kirk Cousins in that second half. Again, a lot of this was kind of related to the scheme. That was, I think, a shock for a lot of people, myself included, with them going pretty much exclusively out of that pistol and shotgun look. And that obviously raised questions about Kirk Cousins' health, questions that were kind of knocked down by Cousins himself and Zach Robinson, the coaching staff this week. But still, no play action in the game. You know, a pass protection scheme that was lackluster. There are a lot of areas of improvement for this team. And third downs, they were 2 of 9 overall against the Steelers, and 0 of 6 on third downs when they were facing 3rd and 10 or longer. So lots of areas for improvement for this team that they'll be looking for tonight. And something that you said, John, ahead of that game, I think is really worth just saying again, which is that it wasn't just about the result against the Steelers last week, because, you know, you kind of alluded to it, that it's one of the least important games in terms of tiebreakers and things. It's an AFC, you know, out-of-conference opponent and whatnot. But it's what we wanted to see was how the team played in that opener with a functional quarterback at the helm, and really we didn't see any of what we were expecting. So I think, you know, obviously everybody wants to see the Falcons win tonight if you're a Falcons fan, but I think almost equally as important is how do they perform in this game? How does their style of play look, especially offensively?
It is Monday Night Football tonight from Philadelphia. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. In an unusual time, though, we will be 4 to 6 this coming Sunday because of the Sunday night game, and 4 to 6 with a Thursday night game coming up in a few weeks at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Get used to it. And, you know, the Falcons are going to be on prime time a number of times this season, so it does present a little bit of a different listen for those of you driving home on your radio today. John Fricke along with Joe Patrick. We're taking it at 6 o'clock and the network pregame show, and, of course, complete coverage of the Falcons and Eagles with Wes and Dave coming up tonight. Now, all of this is going to be kind of looking ahead to the game tonight. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time in the show. We may go back. This is the only time I really want to go back. And I want to go back to last week well, because I don't really want to spend a whole lot of time. I really want to focus on tonight's game.
Sure.
But I want to go back, Joe, to a couple of things that I think once we got past the disappointment and the depression and the anxiety and all that, which exists still, of course, because we don't know what we're going to see tonight, because it's about changing the narrative. The narrative of this team under Arthur Smith, of all people, Arthur Smith last week, the changing of the narrative of, oh, all we could do is run the ball and play good defense and hope we can win at the end. And it was the exact same thing that we had seen the last 2 years with a different head coach. It was like, are you kidding me? Joe, it was the same bloody thing.
Yeah, and I guess the bright side of that coin, just for a second, is that, you know, it kind of shone a brighter light on the defense than we initially expected, with a lot of question marks on that side of the ball, especially coming into training camp. And they obviously addressed that with a couple huge signings with Justin Simmons and Matt Judon. But yeah, I mean, I think, again, to go back to the style of play topic, like, that's what it was about. And I think the other thing, it wasn't just that it was a poor performance, but I think the other thing that caught people off guard, and it goes back to all the pistol and shotgun sets that this team was running and the fact that they ran no play action plays, is the fact that that kind of scheme is exactly what Kirk Cousins has not done in his career. And the whole idea that we had about Kirk Cousins coming into this team and playing under Zach Robinson, who comes from that Sean McVay tree out in L.A., which is that it's something similar, just as his previous head coach, Kirk Cousins' previous head coach, Kevin O'Connell, came from that same system under Sean McVay in L.A., and Kirk Cousins performed really well there. He's traditionally, in his career, performed the best when he's using play action, and they didn't run a single play action concept in the game. He's been one of the better under center quarterbacks in the league. They didn't run under center except for one play where they ran it on end around on fourth down. So I think on top of the fact that the team didn't look good, it's the fact that it was in a it was just not the style that I think a lot of fans came to expect, and therefore I think that there's just a bad feeling about what that style of play and what that kind of scheme is going to produce going forward. And I think that it's important to stress that we have a very small sample size. Not only is it just one game, it was a very minute number of plays that the Falcons ran in that one game, only 50 plays. And again, that points to the lack of efficiency on offense. But I still think that we need to kind of keep our emotions in check over this first kind of month or so as the team tries to get its feet underneath it. But there's not a lot of time, and these are tough opponents that this team's going to be facing, and especially this division is looking a lot tougher than it was a couple weeks ago.
All right, so I want to ask you about the kind of the mood inside Flowery Branch in a moment. Joe Patrick, our Falcons insider and reporter, alongside John Fricke, Wait For It Tailgate Show. Ahead of the game tonight, we're talking about the Falcons and, you know, whether one of the discussions I had this week, is it critical for them to win or do they just have to play better? Well, it's a much more important game because it is a conference game. There could be a tiebreaker involved. Who knows how it's going to play out here. And we've seen the Eagles have, you know, issues with turnovers, and Jalen Hurts has had issues with turnovers too. And if the Falcons could manage to win this game on the road, that would certainly kind of offset what happened in week one. And let's not lose sight of the fact that the Falcons offense, poorly as it played, and good Lord, it was bad. Okay. It was bad. It was like, you know, you ever seen the Scooby-Doo meme where, you know, that they do on Twitter where they've got the face mask and they rip it off,
right.
You know, somebody, right. And it was like the Kirk Cousins and they rip it off and it's Desmond Ritter. So, yeah, they played bad, but let's not lose sight of the fact that despite as bad as they played, Joe, in the fourth quarter, before the final interception, they've got the ball down five and a chance to win the game.
Yeah, they had a chance to win that game. And again, it's a credit to the defense for keeping them in a huge fourth down stop late in that game to, again, give the ball back to Kirk Cousins and the offense in an attempt to try to win it. Unfortunately, just at halftime, the Steelers made adjustments. I think that, and you wonder if this is down to the fact that Kirk Cousins looked, you know, limited in his mobility, and the fact that they were able to basically scheme their second half defense around the fact that he was going to be a bit of a statue back there in the pocket. But for whatever the reason was, obviously the Steelers adjusted and the Falcons were unable to adjust to whatever the Steelers were doing that stifled them so much. And again, I think that it's those kinds of adjustments that we are hoping tonight to see a much improved performance, because it would give us a better feeling. Even if the team doesn't win, if the team comes out and scores more points and just looks more efficient offensively, I think that will give Falcons fans, let them sleep a little bit easier tonight thinking about what this offense could be down the road. Because when coming into the season, what I would still hold is that they are going to make the playoffs based on their offensive production. That's where they've invested this offseason, both in the draft and obviously in the free agency signing of Kirk Cousins. And so that's where they're going to have to make their hay and create their identity as a football team.
If you're looking for Dukes of Bell, they're already gone. They're in their cars. They're heading home like you. Probably listening to the radio because this is the Wait For It Tailgate Show ahead of the Falcons and Eagles tonight. We're taking it at 6 o'clock when the network will kick in with Chris Goforth and Mike Johnson on the pregame show, and of course, Wes and Dave on the call of the game. This is such an interesting game in a lot of ways. And I know we'll get into the injury situation with A.J. Brown being out. We'll get into that a little bit later on in the show here. But if you look at I want to go back. This is the only other time I want to go back to last week. What Justin Fields did last week, what Arthur Smith did, there's a pass chart for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Joe, where they did not throw one pass in between the hash marks. Not one, not a dump, not a check down, not a, you know, a third, nothing. Everything was outside the hash marks on both sides. It was kind of a bizarre, I don't think I've ever seen such a pass chart in an NFL game. And so they found a way, and I'm curious as to see as to whether or not, especially when you have a tight end like Philadelphia does, as to whether or not, you know, Philadelphia is going to do the same thing, or are they going to try and exploit that middle?
Yeah, you know, I would have to imagine the Eagles are going to go over the middle a little bit more, although traditionally Jalen Hurts has been a quarterback who does not attack the middle of the field. That's never been the kind of offense that he runs initially under Shane Steichen when that team made that run to the Super Bowl. But I think, honestly, I thought it was a well-coached game by Arthur Smith in terms of calling the plays for Justin Fields, a quarterback who came in late. Obviously, they were planning to go with Russell Wilson, but he steps in on late notice, and I thought Arthur Smith just did a good job in not exposing him, and I thought that you could say the opposite for the Falcons' offensive scheme and Zach Robinson in terms of not exposing players, where it felt like Kirk Cousins was exposed in the pocket. It felt like, frankly, Caleb McGarry was exposed at right tackle with some of the protection help that he was getting on T.J. Watt. And again, I think these are some of the things that concern you. And, you know, there's a reason why this team decided to make the move away from Arthur Smith and that you were going to upgrade there. And then, of course, he goes and kind of outshines your own offensive coordinator coming in week one. So that's obviously dispiriting. But there's a lot of time for things to change. You know, this team is they are focused. And John, I didn't answer something that you asked me initially, which was kind of what is the vibe up in the locker room there in Flowery Branch, and how are players reacting?
Would you say it's like, right, would you say, Joe, that it's, you know, are they angry? Are they, you know, determined to not let this happen? I would imagine, but there's no, look, nobody happy, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the word I would use is just focus. Like, when we go in the locker room, it's not like guys are down at all, but guys are, you know, head in their iPads or on their playbooks ready to go. I mean, I remember walking through that locker room, kind of hearing Kirk Cousins talking about, you know, a play sitting right next to Darnell Mooney. They've got lockers right next to each other, and they were kind of talking some things through offensively. And I think that it really, really helps at this time to have a quarterback like Kirk Cousins. You know, this time last year, obviously the team won their first couple games, but when things started, you know, when things got bumpy on the road there, they have a rookie quarterback at the helm trying to lead this team, and I think that it will help them a ton to have a quarterback who's been in every kind of situation imaginable and is going to kind of keep this, especially young offensive group, with a level head going into these next few games.
This portion of the Wade Ford Tailgate Show is brought to you by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Falcons and the NFL. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show on 92.9 The Game, as we count down to the Falcons and Eagles tonight on Monday Night Football on the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. Let's get it going, guys. The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on a Monday. We'll have another one on a Thursday coming up in a couple of weeks. But tonight, Monday Night Football, the Atlanta Falcons and the Philadelphia Eagles. John Fricke and Joe Patrick with you till 6 o'clock, when we'll join the network pregame show with Mike and Chris. And then, of course, Wes and Dave on the call at 8 o'clock tonight from the Link in Philadelphia. Well, as we look ahead to tonight's game, there is a bit of breaking news, Joe. And I know that we're going to do an injury segment and update the team, but we just got some word that you can kind of spout this news here, is that it's not good for the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, it's not good at all. Nate Landman, linebacker, he's just been placed on IR, so he'll miss a minimum of 4 weeks starting this week. You know, that's a tough break, because he was one of this team's highest graded linebackers last year on PFF. Honestly, he was one of the reasons why this Falcons run defense was labeled as one of the best run stopping defenses in the NFL last year, was because of what he brought to the defense, and they're going to miss him. He obviously made some huge plays against the Steelers. He had been dealing with this kind of quad knee thing, and obviously he'd been working through that in training camp. Obviously was good enough to go against the Steelers, but is not going to be able to play for the next 4 weeks. So, hey, that puts a big spotlight on Troy Anderson, a guy who missed all of last year, and I think a lot of fans are excited to see what he can be at the linebacker spot. And potentially J.D. Bertrand could be getting some more reps as well. So some big opportunities for those guys, but obviously a big loss for this Falcons defense.
Yeah, and against a team in Philadelphia that now has not only Jalen Hurts, but Saquon Barkley, and it's really a run-first team. I mean, when you've got, you know, weapons like that, that's, you know, their bread and butter is to move the ball on the ground and not through the air here. Let's get to a couple of sound bites that I want you, Joe, to respond to from the head coach, Raheem Morris. Let's begin with the Philadelphia Eagles and the challenge that this team does present to the Falcons. Here's the coach.
It's just really the whole offense when you look at those guys, right? You're talking about a bunch of superstars across the board, the Slim Reaper, A.J. Brown. You got Saquon out there. They just traded for Dotson. They got a bunch of guys out there. They got the biggest offensive line in the history of the game. You know, they got a brand new center, and it's going to create a really challenge for us. And Hurts was the run-up in MVP just a year ago, whatever the case may be. So they got a good offense. So we got to get up in the lab right now, and that's what today and tomorrow is about.
Well, there's one thing that's kind of historically true in recent history here, and recent history being last year, Joe, is that the Falcons did not handle mobile quarterbacks very well. I mean, look at what Josh Dobbs off the street, for crying out loud, and Kyler Murray and mobile quarterbacks, what Justin Fields was able to do to him last year, contained him a little bit last week, but I mean, they have struggled against guys that can get out of the pocket and move with their feet.
Yeah, and Jalen Hurts, I think, is a little bit of a – he's an odd one because he is obviously a mobile quarterback, but when he is passing, he's not the type who typically is going to be really scrambling around like we've seen some of these other guys. Like, for example, like a Kyler Murray who this team played last year. I don't think he has that same kind of style, but there will be plenty of designed runs for Jalen Hurts, and he obviously runs with a lot of power, and that's something that also this team has struggled with at times. When you look at a guy like Justin Fields, for example, who's able to keep the team on the field, his offense on the field, and continue to move the chains. That's going to be the big thing for this Falcons defense tonight, is actually getting off the field. I think it's actually something the defense could have done a little bit better last week. I know we've been kind of giving the defense a lot of credit for the way that they played against the Steelers. I think a little bit of that is just because the offense played so poorly that we want to kind of look for a silver lining in it all. And I did think that they were okay, but I think they could have been better getting off the field at times. And that's going to be the big challenge against this Jalen Hurts-led Eagles offense, is getting them off the field, because not only do you have him, who obviously we know he can be, you know, among the best quarterbacks in this league when he's on his game, but he's also got a lot of weapons around him. Now, he won't have as many tonight because A.J. Brown, his best wide receiver, will miss his first game as a Philadelphia Eagle with an injury, but you know they've got plenty of replacements. Raheem Morris mentioned it in that clip. Jahan Dotson is a receiver they traded for from Washington, who has plenty of talent, was a former first-round pick, and is incredibly athletic and explosive. So with him combined with Devontae Freeman, who Raheem always calls the Slim Reaper every time he references him, those are two dynamic receivers to have to try to corral.
Yeah, Devontae Smith. It'll be an interesting matchup, Devontae Smith against A.J. Terrell. And, again, if they're going to try and exploit the outside and not go over the middle because they want to avoid Bates and Simmons, I don't know if they'll steal from the Steelers' playbook or not. That means, there's going to be a lot of one-on-one matchups between those two, I would think.
Yeah, there probably will. You know, I think that we are learning about what this defense is going to be schematically. I think that they weren't able to show us a whole lot of like what they truly will be, especially in some of their coverage schemes based on what the Steelers were running, which was obviously a run-heavy game for them, and then they were just doing some kind of quirky things on bootlegs, trying to give Justin Fields some simple options. But I think that there should be some opportunities for this team to make plays and create turnovers and get themselves off the field and put the offense in a quality position to go down the field and score. But I think it's also going to be one where it's just a really dynamic offense that they're going to be going up against, a much more dynamic offense than what they faced last week. So I think you have to anticipate that they're going to give up more yards. They're probably going to give up more points than the 18 that they allowed to the Steelers. But can they create those game-changing plays and win the turnover battle? I truly think that the winner, whoever wins this game, is going to win the turnover battle. I think it's a huge question mark whether the Falcons are going to be able to do that. But it just goes to show, I think this Falcons defense, they certainly have turnover capable players, not only in the corners, but obviously Jesse Bates and Justin Simmons are two of the best at it. And so I think the Falcons, if they can get themselves in a favorable advantage early, or a favorable situation early in this game, forcing the Eagles to pass, I think that that's obviously where you want to be. You do not want to be in a game where you're just hoping to stop Saquon Barkley and you just can't. And that could be a problem without Nate Landman in this game.
This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. If you're looking for Dukes and Bell, they'll be back on coming tomorrow. And all the reaction to what happens tonight in Philadelphia, John Fricke alongside Joe Patrick, taking you to 6 o'clock, and then the pregame show. And, of course, the game at 8 with Wes and Dave on the call tonight. We're talking about the Philadelphia Eagles and the Atlanta Falcons. Let's flip this around a little bit. You mentioned the turnover battle here, which the Falcons lost the turnover battle last week 3-0, two picks by Kirk Cousins, and actually kind of three turnovers by him because of the mishandled snap. Mm-hmm. And they lose the turnover battle 3-0. They get 226 yards or something like that in offense. But they don't allow Pittsburgh into the end zone, and they almost win the game. And, well, at least that's an overstatement. They have a chance to win the game in the fourth quarter. Now, if they think they can do that again tonight, if they lose the turnover battle 3-0 tonight, ooh, and get 226 yards in offense, this is going to be ugly.
Yeah, it's going to be an ugly scoreline if that happens, for sure. For sure. I mean, yeah. you don't overcome that. If you talk to any coach in the NFL, they will continually point to turnovers. Even last year. I know that everybody has feelings about Desmond Ridder and, you know, what he was doing. His biggest shortcoming that he had as quarterback was just that he turned the ball over constantly. But it was not really about the Falcons' ability to move the ball up and down the field. They were pretty consistently able to do that for most of the season, but they just could not. Yeah, we don't have to go all the way back there, but turnovers are just so important in the NFL. These guys are so good. The margins are so fine in this league. Those turnovers make all the difference.
So let's kind of look at the matchups a little bit on the offense versus the Philadelphia defense here. One of the things the Falcons did not do is give the ball enough to Tyler Allgeier. I think we all can see that when he got three carries last week. The Falcons also didn't run away enough from DJ Watt. Now, Philadelphia's going to come in here. Devin White, I don't know if he's playing or not, but Nick Sirianni already said that N'Kobe Dean is going to start. And of course, everybody around here familiar with N'Kobe Dean and his ability to rush the passer. And then Zach Bond, former Wisconsin star, just lit it up last week. So they have a couple of linebackers slash outside linebackers slash edge guys in Bond and Dean that are going to be difficult to deal with. And the way you deal with them is to pound the rock here. So do you think that they're going to use Tyler Allgeier more? Are they going to try and just kind of simplify things in terms of the running game and just try and go right at Philadelphia?
I do expect them to use Tyler Allgeier more. I think that he would have gotten used more had there been a more favorable circumstance for the team in that second half. If they were able to run the ball more in that half and they weren't chasing points, I think we would have seen him get more carries. And, you know, I thought he was actually one of the more efficient runners for the Falcons. He only had three carries, but he picked up 21 yards in those. I think that this Falcons offense has to establish more misdirection. Like, when I watch other teams, especially some of the better running teams like the Miami Dolphins that have, you know, Mike McDaniel comes up with some really cool run scheme stuff, it's so much misdirection. And you don't kind of know all the time exactly who has the ball or what direction they're going. And if you can do that, if you can create that and you freeze those linebackers and you just don't kind of allow them to have their natural flow into the play, that's when you create explosives. And that's when Bijan Robinson can really, really take over and get himself, you know, into one-on-one situations out in space. And I just didn't see enough of that out of this Falcons run game last week. It just seemed like a lot of, you know, just routine kind of like stretch and wham, some power stuff. But they never played anything off of it. And it comes back to them, you know, not utilizing play action. You thought that that would eventually come into the game, but they never really played off of their primary running play. So I think that's the biggest area where this team has an obvious area to create those explosives and just really get this running game going. Because everything is based off that running game. I know, you know, we all think that Kirk Cousins should be able to solve everything for this team, but I think he would be the first to tell you that if this team can't run the ball, they're just not going to have success.
Yeah, let's see if they could pass the ball. One more soundbite from the head coach for Joe Patrick. This is the Wait For Tailgate Show, John Frickie and Joe Patrick. Let's see what Raheem Moore is talking about Kirk Cousins and what he expects in this game tonight.
For Kirk, he's always has to play hard. We know he has to play better. There's no doubt about that, and I look forward to him doing that. He's played in the league for a long time. And I look forward to bouncing back from a rough game and a rough outing. I'm not overly concerned with that.
Well, I'm glad he's not concerned. The rest of us are like, oh! You know, the question I have for you, Joe, is we talk about, and it was much discussed, about 96% in the pistol and the shotgun. He's a play-action under-center quarterback. Do you think we'll see him under-center tonight doing dropbacks, 5-7-step, and doing some play-action? Will we get more of what would be considered to be traditional Kirk Cousins?
So I don't think we'll see him line up in center and then just take a natural 5 or 7 step drop back from that position, but I could see him being under center a little more to, you know, either just hand the ball off from the position or to then, you know, get some play action stuff going. And I think that some people have the wrong impression, especially when it comes to Kurt's health, as to why they were doing so much of this pistol and shotgun. Because I'll tell you, you know, I was out there at training camp and he was running under center. There was also a lot of shotgun and pistol. I was surprised that it was all shotgun and pistol, but it's not that he can't do that. And I think that what a lot of people thought coming out of that game is like, oh, he can't get under center. I think he definitely can. It's just a matter of whether the Zach Robinson, Raheem Morris want to put him in that situation. Maybe they don't want to put him in that situation for health reasons. They denied that to media, and so I have to take them at their word that that's the case. But I do think we'll see a little more of it, but I wouldn't expect some kind of complete departure because last week went wrong and they're just going to go with something completely differently. You know, Zach Robinson and Kirk Cousins said it this week, like this is a pistol offense, basically, that this team will be running. It doesn't mean they'll run exclusively in pistol for the rest of the year, but primarily that's what they'll be in. The reason why they want to be in that is because they can do a lot of their under center stuff from that formation and make it life a little bit easier on Kirk. But I think it would benefit them to get under center just a little more because it just presents some different challenges that the defense has to be aware of, and it creates some different tendencies. You know, again, coming out of this last game, they were 100% passing when they were in shotgun. They were 81% running in pistol. Those are ugly numbers. I found the coaches' reactions to being asked questions about those, like, I felt like they were a little bit ashamed that the splits were just that heavy, because you wouldn't even see something like that in like a high school game. They want to correct that, and I think they're getting under center a little bit more.
Telegraphing to the defense what you're going to do, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay. We got about 90 seconds left in our segment here. Joe Patrick, our Falcons insider and reporter. Last week, Drake London, Darnell Mooney combined 3 catches, 30 yards. Your two star wideouts get 3 catches at 30 yards. That cannot happen again, Joe. It just can't.
And you can put the pass catchers together any way you want. It looks back. I know Drake and Kyle Pitts had 5 catches for 41 yards combined together. And, you know, granted, Kyle Pitts had that touchdown, which was nice, but you're never going to be the team that you want to be. You're never going to make the playoffs if those players continue to have that kind of production. So I think these are more like correlative and not causal, but regardless, you've got to get that solved in order for this team to be the team that we all think they can be. And I certainly think they will get there eventually, but can they get there soon enough before the season kind of slips away from them? We'll see.
Yeah, well, one of the things we didn't see with all right, since this is the Wade Ford show, I won't do my talk show thing with Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder.
Very good, John. That was discipline right there.
Did not get to use my nickname. Since Matt Ryan left, one of the things we haven't seen is a vertical passing game. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things I was hopeful last week we'd see is like, oh, Kirk Cousins, I'm not even sure they really took a shot downfield, really.
No, they didn't.
So it's not just that they completed one or hit one. I don't think they even took one.
Yeah. No, I think the longest intended receiver was, I think, about 30 yards downfield. It was on that corner route to Darnell Mooney that got tipped away, and everything else was even considerably shorter than that. So yeah, they really need to do that. And again, just because they didn't do it in that one game doesn't mean they can't. I have seen them connect in training camp on those downfield passes, and those are important. Those are important shot plays that you have to connect on if you want to be a potent offense.
It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, live ahead of the Falcons and Eagles, live on your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. When we get back in a moment, there's some big news around the NFL in the NFC South, where news today that you need to know, and we'll go around the NFL, check in, and get Joe's thoughts about what happened yesterday, what's happened this week, in terms of some of the big stories in the NFL. That's all ahead on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Cousins in motion, or puts Pitts in motion to the left. Here's Kirk looking back. Now he'll bail to the left. Going to throw. Caught! Touchdown! Atlanta leads! And Kyle Pitts!
You're going to need a lot more of that tonight in Philadelphia. Kirk Cousins throwing touchdown passes, and Kyle Pitts has one in his hip pocket. Let's see if he can get another tonight. Again, we're taking you to coverage of the Philadelphia Eagles and the Atlanta Falcons on a Monday Night Football live on Sports Radio 90.9 The Game. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. John Fricke and Joe Patrick taking you to 6 o'clock tonight. A look around the NFL now, brought to you by Hatfield. Put some pork on your fork. And, Joe, something stinks in the South right now. Oh no. No, that's not what stinks.
Oh.
It's Charlotte. Oh. That's what stinks. Well, it stinks so bad. I mean, 73-13 in their first 2 weeks. That Charlotte, they had a little bit of a change today. You want to tell the fans what that change was?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're benching Bryce Young now for Andy Dalton. They're pulling Andy Dalton out and rolling with him. And man, this is going to go down. Obviously, we knew it was a historically bad trade for the Panthers, given the way that Bryce Young looked even last year. But now to have benched him two games in, he's basically done in Carolina. He might play again this year because of an injury or something, but there's no way that organization has to be thinking they're going forward with him at this point in time. And man, that is so much capital down the drain with everything that they traded away to acquire a player who gave you absolutely nothing. Maybe negative. Maybe he actually may have made the team worse in the time that he was the quarterback there.
Yeah, and they're already talking about, can they trade him here and during the season?
Ugh.
I mean, they're 0-2 and giving up. I mean, they're putting the red rifle in there for Dave Canales.
I wonder what a team would trade for him. I wonder what anyone would be willing to give up.
Okay, you say like a fourth, but a conditional second.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, depending on, that kind of thing. But you're not going to get a number one, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
The Bucks off to a 2-0 start. Get this. There are stats and then there are stats, okay? And stats are what you make of them, right? Detroit, Bucks beat Detroit. Detroit had the ball in the red zone of Tampa 7 times, 1 touchdown. Now get this. Detroit in the game, they lose the game, right? Detroit outgains Tampa by 247 yards. They sack Baker Mayfield 5 times, and they still lost.
It's incredible. Tampa, it's incredible. I mean, the Falcons almost blew one in Tampa last year where it was kind of similar in terms of the amount that the Falcons outgained the Buccaneers in that game, but then they fumbled the ball inside the 5-yard line, I think 3 times in that game or something, to give the Buccaneers a chance. It shouldn't have even been close, but hey, you got to give them credit. And Baker Mayfield, he's been looking solid. And like we said at the top of the show, I mean, the NFC South is looking a lot more challenging with these teams, especially getting off the 2-0 starts when I don't think anybody thought either of these teams would be 2-0 at this point.
We're looking around the NFL ahead of the Philadelphia Eagles and the Atlanta Falcons tonight. There are calls in Dallas for Mike McCarthy's head after that performance against the Swampers. And, their last two home games, if you go back to the playoff game last year, they got beat up by Green Bay. The Cowboys gave up 48 in that Green Bay game. They gave 44 this week.
Mm.
And it's one of the few times in the entire Super Bowl era that somebody's done that, where in back-to-back games you gave 44 points or more up in back-to-back games at home. I don't know what's happening in Dallas. It's been kind of an unusual start. They paid Dak Prescott a ton of money. Made him the highest paid player mm-hmm. in the history of the NFL, and this is what they got for it in the first game after they made that deal. And Jerry Jones has just got to be beside himself.
Oh, absolutely. You know he's got to be fuming. Maybe the only owner fuming more than Jerry Jones is David Tepper these days. But man, something I was thinking about watching that game was that it just always seems like the Cowboys never just kind of solidly lose a game. They always just look like an absolute disaster, like the world is coming down on their head when they start losing a game. And that's the way that one happened yesterday. I mean, it looked like they just couldn't do anything right. They couldn't figure that Saints team out, which doesn't seem like it should be that big of a problem. But Clint Kubiak, Gary Kubiak's son, seems to have a really good offensive scheme working there. But yeah, the Cowboys, they got some work to do to kind of get themselves back to where they think they should be, which is contending for a Super Bowl.
So I have a friend of mine who DM'd me yesterday and said, hey, listen, do you think that Taylor Swift is going to be at the Falcons-Chiefs game? And my reply to him was, I don't know. I have to worry about the Eagles first. And more importantly, I couldn't care less if she's there or not. It makes no difference to me. Don't care. The Chiefs are going to be coming in here, but they lose one of their key weapons. Isaiah Pacheco, who came out of kind of nowhere, Rutgers, to become the star running back, fractured fibula and is out for probably the year.
Yeah, that's really, really tough for the Chiefs as a team. I do think that Pacheco is quite limited in what he's able to do physically, but I think the reason why he plays so much is just because he knows what he's doing when he's on the field in Andy Reid's offense, and Andy Reid trusts him, especially in the passing game, whether that's in protection or as a, catching those little dump offs and where he's able to, make some production happen. I kind of am scared that they're actually going to run into a running back who is more physically gifted than Isaiah Pacheco was and is also able to do a lot of what he was able to do. But no doubt about it, he played a huge role in that team, and they're going to, in the immediate term, I think they're really going to be missing what he brings to that team. And I'm actually shocked that the Chiefs pulled that game out yesterday. I actually wasn't able to watch the very end of it, and I thought that they were basically going to lose it. And then they come back and win it, of course, like they always tend to do. That's why they're champions, though.
Yep, Wave 4 Tailgate Show, sponsored by the Breakfast Sauce from the makers of the W Sauce. So good, you'll want breakfast all day. Visit thewsauce.com to find a breakfast sauce retailer near you. Today, the Dolphins signed Tyler Huntley. Maybe they should trade for Bryce Young, I don't know, to replace Tua Tagovailoa. Tua comes out and says he wants to play again. Mm. And there are a lot of people, Joe, right now who are saying he needs to – I mean, you can't tell a man what to do, but boy – I don't know, Joe. I mean, what do we have to have happen with him before he says, look, my life is too important?
Yeah, I don't know either. I mean, listen, first of all, he has to get kind of he needs to get cleared by doctors. But it seems like doctors would say that he's going to be okay, considering that, you know, word is coming out that he does want to return to play. I think all of us are kind of in the same boat that we just don't want to see him play because we don't want to have to see him go through that again and have some threatening situation. Because when he goes down with head injuries, considering his past, it really does feel like almost life-threatening in those situations, in those moments, and it creates stress for all of us who are watching him. So, you know, but I don't want to take that agency away from him. I think Mike McDaniel has handled this beautifully in the media, just, you know, kind of asking the media to kind of calm down in terms of wanting an answer right here and now and just letting the process play out a little bit. I'll be very interested, obviously, as everybody will, to hear from Tua himself talking about whatever decision he ends up making. But it seems like he's going to be coming back, which, you know, we'll see how that goes. And we'll see whenever he is able to come back. I don't think there's any timetable on him right now.
No, I don't think there is either. I heard everything from, you know, 6 weeks to 12 weeks. So I don't think there's any. That's why I said, you know, Tyler Huntley, okay.
Yeah.
We'll see what that happens with the Dolphins. I mean, notwithstanding the fact that the Dolphins got crushed, too, on top of that. Another interesting, I found some interesting stats from week number two here. The Giants. Now, the Giants and Washington Commanders play. Washington won the game. We'll see both of those teams later in the season. Of course, Dan Quinn and company. The Giants became the first team in the history of the NFL to do something in this game that they lost to the Commanders. They scored three touchdowns. The Commanders scored none. The Giants became the first team to ever score three touchdowns in a game, have their opponents score none, and still lose the game. Because the Giants scored a touchdown, missed the point after, then scored another, went for two, missed that, scored another, went for two, missed that, ended up with 18. The Commanders kicked seven field goals and won the game 21-18.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is when you look at when you look at that final score and someone said one team scored only touchdowns, the other one only scored field goals, you would have thought it would be reversed because the Commanders scored 21 points, that's three touchdowns, the Giants scored 18, that's six field goals, but actually it was, like you said, it was flipped around the other way. Hey, John, can I mention something that I thought was noteworthy from week two so far, which was the Sunday night game last night? How about Caleb Williams getting sacked seven times? And I saw that he was pressured on 36 times on 37 dropbacks. Obviously, that's part of him and his kind of style to hold on to the ball as long as possible, but that was completely unsustainable. If he plays like that and that Bears offensive line plays like that, he is not going to play every game this season. He will definitely get injured.
Yeah, Justin Fields is sitting around going, I tried to tell you. You know, put me behind a good offensive line, which is what we said when we were talking about Justin possibly being here. Put him behind a decent offensive line. And so we'll see what happens with that. You know, it wasn't very good. You know, there's a lot of angst right now in a lot of places around the NFL. Let's hope that the angst in Atlanta ends tonight with a Falcons victory over the Eagles. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Counting down 1 hour closer to kickoff in Philadelphia tonight, taking you to the network pregame show at 6, and then Wes and Dave on the call tonight. Philadelphia Eagles, Atlanta Falcons on your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.